You know, none of us can earn our way into heaven because eternal life is a free gift when you accept Jesus as the Lord of your life. Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And today, Rick Warren continues a series called Good News About Grace. You can't truly understand the Christian life until you understand grace. It's at the heart of your faith and your relationship with God. And in this series, you're going to discover how not to only understand grace, but how to experience it and the joy that it brings. Okay, here's part one of a message called Sustaining Grace.
Now, the Bible tells us that God always finishes what He starts. Always. The first verse on the top of your outline today says this: God who began the good work within you will continue His work until it is finally finished. I want you to circle the word will on your outline. It doesn't say God might finish it. It doesn't say God hopes to finish it. It says God will finish it. What does that mean? It means if you have really given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've opened yourself up to God and say, Christ be number one in my life, you are going to make it to heaven. There's no doubt about it. Case closed. Done deal. Finished product. You are going to make it across the finish line because it doesn't depend upon your performance. It depends upon God's sustaining grace. The only question is how you finish the race. Because you know as well as I do that some people finish a race poorly while other people finish a race well. Now, as your pastor, I don't want to just get you into heaven. I don't want to just get you across the finish line. My goal is to help you finish the race of life well. I want you to enjoy life, the abundant life, to figure out what God made you here for and put you here for and do it. And God says, I will help you finish the race. Now, how can we be sure we're going to finish? Because of God's sustaining grace. Now, what is saving or sustaining grace? Sustaining grace is the power to keep on going when I feel like giving up. Do you ever need that? The power to keep on going when you feel like giving up. Sustaining grace is the power to do the right thing when you don't feel like doing the right thing. Now, there are many pitfalls in the marathon race of life. We're going to talk about them this morning. But regardless of what you go through, no matter what you face this next year, you can count on God's sustaining grace being there. Look at the next verse on your outline, 1 Peter 5:11. Read it with me. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and to assure you that the grace of God is with you no matter what happens. Circle that. No matter what happens, God's sustaining grace is going to be with you. It's going to be there. Now, there are three things in life that can cause you to stumble, that can cause you to get cast off to the side of the race, that can cause you to not finish well in life. And God's sustaining grace says, I will help you in each of those three situations. Number one, I can count on God's sustaining grace to help me keep on standing when I'm tempted. Because temptation is the first thing that causes us to stumble. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, watch out for the attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. In other words, Satan wants to eat your lunch. Okay? And he says, take a firm stand against him. Circle that. Firm stand. And so be strong in the faith. Now, you may not realize this, but the moment you become a believer, a battle starts in your life. Because you're no longer Satan's property. He's taken his hand off you, and now you're in God's hands. But he doesn't like that. And there's a battle for your life every single day of your life. And you are forced with moral choices. Am I going to do right or wrong, good or bad? Am I going to be selfish or am I going to be unselfish? And those moral choices are called temptation. Now, the Bible says we are all tempted. Everybody is tempted. You never will outgrow temptation. The Bible says even Jesus was tempted. It says he was tempted in all points like as we are, but he never sinned. Now, the good news is this. If Jesus was tempted and he never sinned, then it means it's not a sin to be tempted. Does that make sense? It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. Some Christians, when they're tempted, they go, oh, no, how could I have ever thought that one? Like, oh, no, I'm some evil, wicked, mean, bad, nasty person because a thought went through my mind. You cannot control all the thoughts that go through your mind, but you can control and you can choose to not dwell on them. In other words, I've said this many times, you can't stop the birds from going over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. And so Satan gives you all kinds of ideas, and you don't have to feel intimidated or embarrassed or ashamed of that. He just puts those ideas in your mind. It's when you dwell on them that then they become wrong, they become sin. Let's just take one area of temptation, sexual temptation. God made you to be a sexual person, a sexual being. He either made you a man or a woman. And he gave you sexual feelings. Now, those feelings are not wrong. They're not bad. They're not even sin. Unless you use them in a wrong way or apply them to a wrong person. Many people misunderstand and confuse attraction with lust. They're not the same thing. Or they even confuse arousal with lust. They're not the same thing. If a man is sitting outside, the good-looking woman walks by and he goes, wow, that is one good-looking woman. That's not lust. That's attraction. That's arousal. If he says, wow, look at what God's made there, that's not lust. If you're a woman and you see a good-looking hunk of a man and you go, you're attracted to him, you may even be aroused. You go, wow, look at that good-looking man. I mean, people say that about me all the time. You know? That certainly is not sin. What is lust? Lust is not arousal. Lust is not attraction. Lust is when you take a thought and you begin to dwell on it in your mind and you begin to mentally have an affair with that person. You begin to fantasize with that person. You begin to imagine, what would it be like with that person? That's when you've crossed the line. But it is not a sin to be tempted. It is a sin to give in to temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's read it aloud together. The temptations that you have are the same ones that all people have. But you can trust God. He will not let you be tempted more than you can stand. When you are tempted, God will also give you a way to escape. Then you will be able to stand it. This is called God's sustaining grace. Now, this is a terrific, fantastic promise. It says here, God will never allow more temptation on you than he puts in you to bear it up. When you say, oh, I just couldn't help myself, you're not telling the truth. I just couldn't help myself, because God says, I will provide the sustaining grace to always give you a way of escape. It may mean turn the channel. It may mean run out the door. It may mean change the way you're thinking. But he will provide a way of escape. Now, I know this verse says that God gives us the ability to handle temptation. And he says they're the same ones that everybody has. We all in this room have the exact same temptations. They're common to human beings. Now, the good news is, if temptations are common to man, that means that there are common solutions. You see, I've heard this so many times. People come to me as a pastor and say, you know, Rick, my situation was unique. And because it was a unique circumstance, then it must be okay for me to bend the rules a little bit and just kind of ignore what God says, because God would understand that in my situation, this is a very unique pressure. And God says, no, it's not. You don't have any unique temptations. They're the same common temptations that all of us have. So don't use that as an excuse. And he says, God will make a way of escape. God's sustaining grace helps me stand firm when I'm tempted. But more than that, number two, God's sustaining grace helps me keep standing when I'm tired. Because sometimes I'm not tempted, sometimes I'm just tired. Now, would you agree with me that life is often exhausting? Some of you look pretty exhausted this morning. You just kind of waggled in your, and you just kind of wormed your way in. It requires a lot of strength, a lot of energy just to live life, especially when you're trying to do the right thing rather than the easiest thing. I mean, now there are a lot of people in life, they don't try to do the right thing at all. They just want to do whatever's the easiest thing in life, that's what I'm going to do. Well, that's no problem at all. You can just coast through life if you always do the easiest thing. But when you're coasting, you're always going downhill. You're always headed down when you coast. On the other hand, when you try to do the right thing, even though it's not the easiest thing, that requires energy, that requires effort, that requires strength. Many of you are the only believer where you work. And it's tough. Do you ever get tired of doing what's right? Sure. Sure you do. Because it's tough moving against the flow, swimming upstream. When all the culture's going this way and you're trying to do the right thing, it's tough. It's tough being the only person in an office when, you know, a bunch of them start saying, well, let's tell some dirty jokes. And you go, well, I don't think I'll be a part of that part. And so the more you try to do what's right, the more energy it's going to require. And yet God says, let us not grow weary in doing right, for we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. But where do you get the power to do the right thing when you don't feel like doing it and when you're dead tired? I mean, sometimes I don't want to be nice to my family. I want to be cranky. Sometimes I don't want to be nice to a clerk that's a jerk. I want to be grouchy. And sometimes I want to be rude back to people who are rude to me. Where do you get the energy to do the right thing? Well, look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 1. It is God who gives us the ability to stand firm for Christ. There's that word again, stand firm. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now I want you to circle the word Holy Spirit, and then I want you to circle the phrase stand firm and draw a line between them, because those two go together. The key to the ability to not getting tired and giving up doing the right thing when you know it's the right thing to do is have the Holy Spirit in your heart. It's he who energizes you, not you in your own power. Now look up here just a minute. The reason why some of you are tired all the time is because you are trying to live the Christian life. And that doesn't work. You're trying to be like Jesus. You're trying to do good. You're trying to keep the Ten Commandments. You're trying to be a person of integrity. You're trying, and you get tired. And people say, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian today. It's not hard. It's impossible. The only perfect person who ever lived was Jesus Christ. He's the only one who ever lived the Christian life perfectly. And what you need to do is, rather than trying to be like Jesus, let Jesus be Jesus in you. Let Jesus be Jesus through you. Stop trying, and just start trusting. The key to the Christian life is not trying, it's trusting. It's not psych yourself up, work real hard, and try to do your best and perform so God will smile at you. No, it's relax, trust, and let Christ live through you. And he will give you the power you need. Probably the man who was the most persistent man ever in the Bible was Moses. He had incredible endurance. How did he keep on keeping on? In spite of the fact that he spent 40 years waiting in the wilderness, and then another 40 years wandering in the wilderness, leading a bunch of spiritual babies around the desert. How did he not give up? How did he not get tired and quit? The Bible says he had God's sustaining grace in his life. That's how you keep on going when you're tired. Do you know how many years it took Noah to build the ark? The Bible says 120 years. Can you imagine waiting 120 years for anything? You say, well, I plan to be dead 20 years prior to that. So. Well, you know, in those days, they lived a whole lot longer. I don't know if they didn't have preservatives in the food, or, you know, they all took herbal life, or I don't know what they did, but, you know, it's something. They lived longer. But the point is that Noah waited 120 years. How did he have the ability to keep on keeping on when he was tired? Surely he must have gotten tired building that ark. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God wants to give you his power to do it, to do what you need to do. Notice the next verse, Philippians 2:13. Read it with me. For God is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose. Now notice it says, will and power. The Christian life is not a matter of willpower, your willpower, but a matter of God's will and God's power in your life. And when God gives you the will and the power to do something, you'll be able to do it. God never asks you to do something he doesn't give you the power to do. Now, would you agree that God has more power than you? Obviously. For instance, God made the sun. Did you know that the sun produces more power in one single second than all of the human race have used throughout the entire history of the human race? More energy is produced in 1 second than we've all used throughout history. Did you know that the sun has enough energy to burn for 30 billion more years? And yet God made the sun. That's the kind of power he's got. And then he comes to you and he says, by the way, you need some power? I will give you the will and the power to handle it. You see, because God's power is unlimited, he never gets tired. You know when it says in creation, and on the seventh day God rested? It wasn't because he was tired. It was because he was finished. He had just finished with creation. The point is, God says, I will energize those of you who trust me. Now there's another way God gives us his sustaining grace. Not just when I'm tempted, not just when I'm tired, but God's sustaining grace gives me the power to keep going when I'm troubled. When I'm troubled. In other words, when I have problems, when I have difficulties. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. He said, expect it. Don't be surprised. Don't be blown away by it. You're going to have difficulties. You will have obstacles. You will have situations that you cannot handle. And he says, I will give you the power.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. I've got some exciting news to share with you today. Some generous friends of Daily Hope have offered a $10,000 matching grant, and that means whatever amount you give to help share the hope of Jesus worldwide is going to be matched up to $10,000. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
Just go to PastorRick.com to have your gift matched up to $10,000. Once again, it's PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And again, all of us here at Daily Hope, thank you so much for your support. Your gift helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.